Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven, and let your children be truly fed with the very words that come from your heart. In Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1. Simon Peter, we're going to read from verse 1 to 4. Please stand on your feet as we read. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go back to verse 1. I'm just going to be staying with verse 1, because I realize I really don't have the luxury of time to look at verse 1 to 4. Many times when I study the scriptures, I am trying to, I enjoy what I'm reading. But when I try to teach around it, I realize I can't go past a verse. Because inside that one verse, so many things are jumping out to me. Say with me, precious faith. Now say with me, precious faith. He said, I, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want to bring to your attention is the way Peter has chosen to describe himself. You see, whatever you consider your status to be, it has to be born out of revelation. These were the guys that came, that they walked with Jesus. They were with him physically when he was on earth. When he walked the earth, they walked with him. They had close contact. They had, you know, interactions. But when they saw him glorified, Peter took a backstage. You see, there is a sense in which you come to God on the strength of sonship. There is a sense in which you claim sonship. But the scripture actually calls us God's sons. John chapter 1, it says, as many as received him, he gave them the word, the power. So there is a power to become. But you see, the word become is significant. The word become seems to suggest that there is a process. The word become means that it didn't just happen. So what you had when you came to Christ is that you became a child of God. But between becoming a child and becoming a son is a string of activities. So the best way to prove your sonship is by servanthood. Come on now, are you here? I said the best way to prove your sonship is what? Because in the Hebrew culture, a son is that one that understands the business of his father. The one that the father can say, go and take over my business, I want to retire. In the Jewish culture, once you are announced that today you are my son, today have I begotten you, what it means in the Jewish culture is that you can now use the name of your father. Forget about all these contraptions where they just give birth to you, they put your father's name beside a certificate. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sonship by virtue of what? They confer, it's a title. What that means is that you will never sit at home anymore. You will never stay at home. You will never wake up and have the luxury of watching, starting your day with Netflix. When you become a son, what it means is that you will be introduced into the business of your father. I'm just looking at the word servant. He said, I am a servant and I am an apostle. And for those of you who still think that being an apostle has anything to do with being the title, you got it wrong. An apostle is someone that has received a mandate. An apostle is someone that is sent. An apostle is not somebody who just feels like he has special revelation and he wants to teach. No. You prove the apostolic ministry by your assignment. Come on now. When you say God has sent you, Do you know of any apostle that was sent to a convenient territory? You don't just put something on Instagram and call yourself apostle. You may be apostle to your wife, but it doesn't mean nothing. You may be apostle in your head. You might have bought a collar. It doesn't mean you are called. He said, I am a servant. That means if I show up in church, I do not ask who is going to clean. I am a servant. If I see the need, then I'm wired for it. Peter didn't have the luxury to be asking Jesus, are you the Savior? Are you the Christ? Let's go this. Now the burden of leadership is on him. He said, I am a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I am writing to them. You see, this letter was to a particular type of believer. He said, I'm writing to them who have obtained what? Like precious faith. And that is the title of this message. Why did he call it precious? Because it is possible that as a result of some of the things you are going through, you may value some things above your faith. You begin to value something. Your career will begin to mean more to you than your faith. Now, when Peter wrote this scripture, he wrote it in the days when believers were being killed. He wrote it in the days where people for nothing, people that never saw Jesus Christ, will allow themselves to be butchered for a hope that they only said believe. Our Christianity in this part of the world is very high, but not very deep. It's not very deep. So when we have to make difficult decisions that border on our destiny, you begin to find people saying, let's use wisdom. So God can no longer call a person that has a first class degree in mathematics and say, go to Kotangura. Do you understand what I'm saying? God cannot even try it again. That's the meaning. Because you went to Bowen, you went to Covenant, and even in your head, you know how much your parents spent. You wired up yourself to a degree where even God, it becomes extremely difficult for God to tell you, I have a need for your life. So Peter said, I am writing to those who realize that this faith is what? Is what? Is precious. And what did Jesus say to us? He said, do not cast that which is precious to what? To the swine. That's what Jesus said. Do not cast that which is precious to the swine. Do you know what the swine? The swine, they don't know the value. The swine are not those nice, beautiful looking birds. They are your friends. Because some of you are looking for swines. They are your friends. That's your friend you always chat with. Our faith is so precious. And there is everything you see on TV, everything you hear in the news, everything that people are trying to communicate with you is just to tell you that, look, the world is moving beyond all these things. The world tries to commonize your faith. They tell you even in the office that, are you saying I'm also not a Christian? When you hear the translation of some people's Igbo name, you will wish God was an Igbo man. It's not enough to just open your mouth and say, Nareke. We have gone past this thing. We are talking about a faith that we have found worthy to live for. And a faith that we have found worthy to die for. If the need arises. I know God promised all of us long life. But they didn't preach long life in the days of Peter. Because the days are coming and those days are very near. There is going to be intense persecution on the issue of our faith, even in this country. And if your faith is so high, but not so deep, it will not take long for them to uproot you. The world tries to make us think that to follow Jesus is old-fashioned. It's old-fashioned, and actually it's old-fashioned. But even when he introduced himself, he said he was the ancient of this. So, all those change of dress sense, it's just the guy, he wears robe. You understand? He wears robe. Now, that's old school for you. But it's okay. When you die, you meet him. The world tries, everything they do is just to tell you that, look, it's actually fun. That there's somewhere in the middle every Christian and every unbeliever can meet. And you see the middle ground in your dressing. You see the middle ground in your decision. So we have believers now who want to get married. And they choose, and they said, pastor is not born again, but his father is a pastor. And then he goes to church. Even though he drinks sometimes, but he doesn't get drunk. I don't know. Say with me, we know better. And let me say this to you. I want you to make a decision that you are going to place the authority of the word of God over any experience in your life. You place the authority of the word of God over any situation in your life. You place it so high. And what does it mean to place the word of God as a primary authority over your life? That means that when you are going to make a decision, the first thing you are going to ask is, what does the Bible say about it? Simple. So the problem is not marrying that girl that lives in California. You understand? That buys a 22.5 million naira mansion. You understand? Because I was listening to one of our sisters, Sister Sharon. Not Sharon, no. There's one Sharon that used to act film with one Michael. Now, if you don't know this Sharon and you don't know this Michael, don't worry. That means you are not actively in the game as at the time they were doing that film. But go and Google it. Don't Google it, oh. That means you know the film. Don't Google it. But there's a Michael. Not you. There's a Michael. And there's a Sharon. Sister Sharon. And then one day I heard Brother Michael, now he's getting old. He's now saying, that all the problem in his life is because of all those useless films he used to do. I said, we knew. I wasn't even as old as your first son when I knew that your life was going to be finished. He wasn't born again, but they made films about sin, original sin. They told us what sin was. Amen. They tried to describe. They tried to tell us there was a middle ground somewhere. Now you see Sister Sharon. She doesn't look as attractive as she used to be. For you to know how attractive she was, you need to go back and look at those old pictures. All those things you are wasting time and money on, time will reveal it. If you are called to the ministry, if you want to know God, buy 10 versions of the Bible. Don't buy a suit. Don't buy a shirt. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 says. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, and this voice, 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation. That word conversation is pattern of living. It's talking about manner of living. He said, we know, for as much as we know. That means there was a way Peter taught them, and they knew that the reason why they were having this conversation is because they were not purchased with things like money. They were not purchased with things like gold. He said, you are not purchased with redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions from your fathers. Next verse. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before Adam ever did anything, God killed his son. God didn't plan it, but God saw it. And he prepared for it. Now, if you allow anybody commonize the faith that is in your heart, if you allow anybody commonize the work of grace in your spirit, maybe you just notice you have some kind of supernatural experiences, don't allow anybody commonize it. Sometimes you are talking to a person, the person who is commonizing your experience is someone that is in his in the third day of his life. Third day is ending his life. Huh? When you are talking to a father, they may want to commonize prophecy, commonize spiritual activities. They just want you to hear the word, discipleship. But when they were your age, they did worse. You understand what I'm saying? Don't allow anybody to despise your youth. There is a day in your life, and I was sharing this yesterday with those of us who came along, that there are 3 days in the life of a man. Number one is the day when it's your incubation stage, where you are accumulating prophecies, where God is speaking to your heart, where people are confirming words to you, where you go into a meeting and say, "Oh, my sister, there's a word of the Lord over," and you are receiving prophecy. The challenge with this stage is that many of us spend the next 100 years of our life accumulating prophecy, then asking, "So why are these prophecies not easy?" They are not happening because you sit down right there. No prophecy is of private interpretation. No prophecy fulfills itself. Once you receive a word, that word is a signal for you to posture properly. If you are going to do a 100 meters dash, and then, you know, they say on your marks, and then you cross your leg. I'm going to win, but you cross your leg. There are people that win matches in their mind. There are people that win battles in their mind. There are people that all their life, all they accumulated is one prophecy. But they are running with it. Others have journals. And they are asking me, "Pastor, what about all these prophecies?" I say, you are still writing. You are almost 45, fool. You are still writing. When we stepped out in faith, all we knew was that he said, "I have chosen you." But you see, why many of us cannot really enter into this thing is because even the subject of our salvation is something that we do not count as precious. We commonize it. And that's why you are comfortable with a guy that is not born again, and you are saying, "Let's see how it goes." Believers don't see how it goes. You are either in the game or you are not. Let's see how it goes. Goes where? So who is leading? Going to hell? He said this thing is called a precious faith. So if you do not understand the dynamics of this type of faith, Peter is saying, "I'm not writing to you." Because there are people that are selling so many things now that they call the gospel. There's one of them in South Africa like that. He's the only major in the body of Christ. I was telling somebody, person said, "Ta!" I said, "Ta!" I said, "Hey, what?" I saw the name, he said, "It just means ta." So if you do not understand that your faith requires that after you have received it, you must guard it jealously. So that wherever you are just a believer. It's not as if, like people in the north will say, Lagos Christians. We are not Lagos Christians. We are children of God. Okay, so wherever you go, you have capacity to survive. If God sends you to Kotangola, you should be excited. But if I said, "Thus hear the Lord, my brother," the Lord say, "Resign your job and relocate to Kotangola." Then you come to me and say, "Pastor, are you talking to me or to the other brother?" Because somewhere in your mind, you don't even imagine that in this same country, people live there. There are people who are in those areas, they will never be in Lagos till they die. And not to talk of going to the airport. They will never be in Lagos till they die. My faith is precious. My faith is precious. And I'm asking you, how precious is your faith to you this morning? Now, there is something else that I need to bring to you in Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 20. Now listen to me. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 16. And verse 14. Mark chapter 16. And verse 14. At this point, Jesus had resurrected. Now, what I'm trying to share with you is that I don't want you to feel that simply because you speak in tongues and you fall under the anointing and you prophesy or that you preach. I want to show you a particular disease that affects the way we see our faith. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, and as they sat to meet, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, the folks I'm talking about here, they are believers in Jesus Christ. They know him. They've walked with him. But after Jesus resurrected, you know, there's a way in which it's just like saying that even though Mr. Joe, Sleepy Joe, won the election, that Donald Trump, the Tiger, will be DT, will be inaugurated as president. Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense even to the Nigerian that are shouting and fighting on Facebook. Everybody supporting my sleepy friend, they are doing it because of visa. No, it has nothing to do with love. Because they don't love him, he doesn't love them. He doesn't even know they exist. Some of us are saying, when you finish your first term, come and we'll vote you, DT, to be our president here. So help us just bulldoze everywhere, clean everywhere. Now, just the way it sounds strange to you, that somebody will win the election and somebody else will be inaugurated, is the same way it sounded strange to Jesus' disciples, that he died and then somebody came and said he rose. Sir, okay, let's use wisdom. Well, don't go and say this thing outside. He's dead. I saw him. I was with Arimathea when we put him inside. That stone can never be lifted by a man. But it was lifted by an angel. Jesus is saying, you see, you may have all your rationalizations on why you cannot trust God. Look at what Jesus said. He said, when he appeared unto the 11, who did he appear to? Who are the people in that 11? John the Beloved. You know who John is? I love you, Jesus. Oh, I'm so moved by your spirit. Oh, Jesus, I feel your presence. Oh, rabakadabadabada. That's John. When Peter prays and doesn't get his own, John will say, Limakataya, Master, who is it? Who is going to betray you? Say, Likamo Kotobaya, the one who puts his hand with me. John gets answers when Noah, but Jesus, John was still among them. I'm telling you that you do not build discipline and resilience in the spirit based on past experience. Which some people are doing. False confidence. The Bible says when Jesus appeared, he didn't even get Alpha. You know, so I tell you, so I will come back. See, let me tell you, when I got to hell, they wanted to hold me. I just did like this. I just came out. I even collected the key. Siki. Lord Jesus, you are powerful. He went 3 days only to come with rebuke. He said he upbraided them. If the people in the world, if I say yes, they may not believe. What about you, John? What about you, Peter? Oh, Malagada Balabadia. For thou art the Christ, the same Lord of Mokoshia. Because there's a way we prophesy, we sound like we are on a higher level. It's called a Kendro level. You are just on a higher level. You are there. Now, if you prophesy like Pastor David, hallelujah, the Lord just spoke to my heart that he's going to help you. This one is not prophecy. But if I come out and I say, heal my heart, sutonia hakamini anda. In zani tovre hetia. Mandelimos, child of God, the Lord told me that you are applying for a visa. Say, yes, Pastor, go deeper. And then I begin to tell you the things happening in your heart. Say, yes. You know, Pastor didn't know. He said, do you know me from anywhere? Did anybody call you? Have I spoken to you? Have I called you? Did anybody? Go deeper. Papa, major one. But when Jesus showed up, he sat at meat. Yeah, bring food. Because this matter, we need food. And he rebuked them. How can you be so close to me yet so far? I'm leaving this work in your hands. The anointing is not that I died. It's that your faith was at the same level with those who didn't even walk with me. You were actually not expecting me to come back. You were not expecting me. And it's painful. Because I spent time with you. I showed up in your dreams. I gave you specific words. When you prayed, you had supernatural encounters. There were things that I revealed to you in the corner of your room. Why should it be you? Listen to me, even God has expectations. All those dreams and visions you are having, God has expectations. One day we come to redeem those things. You are my personal. Just imagine that I leave this church now. And I go and start afresh in Ibadan. Then people call me from Lagos. Pastor, over, now praise code they do there now. I say, really? Do you know what praise code is? That is the praise. That is the victory. Satan defeated. And then, like that, my tough friend. Brother Femi. That's his dance style. Say praise first service, praise second service, praise. He won't have third service now for Niger praise. Then when I come, I say, Pastor David, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Ose, bring food first, bring food. Bring food. Pastor, church is growing, no? Church is growing. We have doubled your work. Say the work that I did, I was only able to get 11. Me that called you, I got 11. How did you do it? Did you add something to the message? Kenny, I didn't know you as a preacher. What did you do? You see, he upbraided them. For what? For what? Unbelief. Their unbelief. You mean even John? Unbelief is not in the face. It's a state of the heart. Every time God says to you, I will not let this year pass until I redeem the word I have given to you. Then you go and meet Tobetiko and say, it's December. This November. I'm tired. So is this still possible? It's November. Like play. There's no fasting this month. It's party. This month is for party. Wedding after wedding. Are you hearing me? Wedding after wedding. I'm not fasting this month. I don't eat at parties. Because when I went, I was sharing that story with somebody. I don't know who I was talking to. Was it? Did I share it here? When I talked about going for a wedding of my prayer band member. You know, in those days, prayer band. If you have not been in church for a long time, you won't know band. Prayer band. Band. Initially, we used to be prayer warriors. No, later they changed us to prayer warriors. Then they say, okay, you can be a warrior, but you are not winning. So they changed to prayer champion. But initially, when we were upgraded, we were prayer band. Band. So I went with my brother in Akure, who was getting married. We were members. We used to pray together in the prayer band. And then I trekked from, you don't know that either, okay, Jebu, to Futa. Let me tell you how I learned how to check. That's how I developed my prayer life. You want to learn how to pray. You won't learn it in front of that TV. That's why that TV, you notice the screen is going off because it soon spoil. So you can have a prayer life. Say, chu-chu-chu. The TV is giving you one sound now. It's a sign that your prayer days are here. That's why you've been praying and God did not give you money for that TV. When we got to the wedding, we prayer band, there's a way we pride ourselves in church. If you people don't go to church, let me tell you the kind of church. When we get there, just there's a way we sit. Just sit. You know that these ones are not regular people. But the woman serving the food didn't think that way. She felt otherwise. I didn't know that the kind of clothes you wear. Ashwebi. Now, David is getting married now. And some of you did not buy Ashwebi. I cannot guarantee your food, though. Mm-mm. I'm telling you what happened to your pastor. If it could happen to your Lord, how much about you? The lady was serving the food like this. Then she got to me. Then she looked at my face. Then she did her hand like this. I said, hey, can't you see the glory of God? In my mind, like, I know there are still, our food is different. We prayer warriors. They serve our food specially. Later, they brought drinks. Oh boy. You know, I couldn't shout. Like in my mind, this is going on. And I looked around. The groom is far away. I swore. I said, from today, I will not eat in any wedding again. I know what I carry. You see, the woman is not in the spirit. Even the disciples of Jesus didn't expect him to come back. How much more somebody serving food? My brother, I didn't eat. By the time I came out after the wedding and I saw the groom, God bless you, bro. Congratulations. I know chopo. Say, food has finished. I said, don't worry. Sure, you'll be in church for Thanksgiving. God, leave that Bible. You know chop. Stop quoting Bible. You know chop. You are angry. But this wedding that we are going for this month, I believe there will be a change. Because before I join you, I will ask you, where is it? Where is it? My time is up. Where is it? Okay, yeah, Andrew. Let's join you. I don't want any disappointment. Unbelief. Excuse me. Do you know that it was the same disciples that Jesus sent and they were working miracles? They believed for miracles. They didn't believe he would come back. Even though they saw him raising the dead. I'm telling you that your faith can never be on a stationary. It's either going forward or going backwards. It's easy to believe. When, you know, you see men of God around, Pastor Adeboye, it's easy to believe. But when they go, now it's okay. Who are the next people? Everybody start pulling back. There's one president in this country that his country was begging him that he should talk. He refused to talk. When they say somebody won election, he sent a message to the person on Twitter. Unbelief. He said now when I see my disciples, and they are gathering in a place, the normal assumption is to think that they are praying. Let's pray. It's going to rise. Let's pray. Don't be tired. But when Jesus came, he saw their heart. Say, Peter, well done. Say, Master, we've been here. Master, wow. Hallelujah. You made it. Say, shut up. John, you too. You, John. Philip. You are here. You people are complete. Oh. And there was everybody faced the same direction. What does it mean to have the hardness of heart? To have the hardness of heart simply means to maintain a position against what heaven has said. God says, go forward. You say, no. I was on my way to Enugu yesterday. Some of you don't know that we travel. We travel just that we come in the night. Enugu, Ebonyi, Abaka, Liki. It was supposed to be my first trip to the Southeast, and my intention was to enjoy it. Then on Friday night, I was in the restroom, and I was just having a shower, you know. And then God said to me, if I tell you that this place you are going, you will not come back. I said, no. Why will I not come? I will come back now. He said, okay, if I say don't go. I said, Baba, I know you. You can open the door for me, I will go and come back. He said, okay, no problem. Then I came out of the bedroom, and then I started thinking about that. This thing are there too. It's like they are giving me signal. So I came to the room. My wife now said, have you checked in? Have you got that thing? Brother, check. Have you checked in? What those contraptions? Have you checked in? I said, no. She said, no, let's do it now. Only for us to log in. Then I saw they moved my flight to 10. I was supposed to be ministering 10 a.m. So there's no way I can make it again. So I called the airline. That you people sent me a text message that the flight is now 7:30. How come it's now 10? You see, that's why I knew that when God is talking to you, he's not advising you. There are some people that think when God is talking, it's an advice. Do you know that most people today who are married are in the permissive will of God? They are not in the perfect will. So, do you know the thing that now shocked me? The airline didn't know they moved the flight. Did you hear what I said? I said, call them. They say it's not possible. The only way God could sabotage my willingness to die was to move the flight. So the person said, please, can I have your reference number? I gave it to me. Say, You know, in my mind, like, you are the customer service. He said, wow. He said, sir, he said, it has been moved, though. I said, I'm telling you. I said, you don't know what you are doing. I have to be in Enugu. We paid 50-something thousand, I mean, something. Arik Air shut down. Now I paid 50,800 again. You people review, you people contractors. The guy was seeing it. I was the one telling him they moved the flight. And I said, go, Baba. You too much. You too much. You know, they follow Percy Agu. If God loves you, don't leave you with your contraptions. He moved the flight. What it would have meant is that if I decided to go, I would just go there. How are you? Happy wedding. Bye-bye. And I enter airport again. Why will I waste my money to go and do that? Then you come back looking at it and say, we just got back from Enugu. Which Enugu? Or you mean they dropped you there and picked you back? Unbelief and hardness of the heart simply means when you know what God is saying and then you decide against it. God said, for me to be able to destroy Pharaoh, I must make his heart. So anybody that is hardened in his heart is close to destruction. Continuous defiance. Stubbornness in the face of truth. That's hardness of heart. The only way to be safe is to raise the authority of the word of God over your life. I love you, but I can't marry you. Because love is not enough. What is the faith that glorifies God? Number one, faith in the midst of persecutions. The faith, the display or the operation of faith in the midst of what? In the midst of what? Persecution. Number two, faith that honors God above every situation. Let me give you an example. If a believer dies young, do you know what we put on that obituary? With gratitude to God for a life well spent, we regret to announce. If you are grateful, what is the regret? Are you hearing something? It's a religious thing. Like when somebody said to me, say, when I die, after so number of years, you will change my position. It's a Yoruba thing. I want to be sleeping on this side now. Then you change me. Then you do party. And I said to this beloved person, I said, when I throw you in the ground, that's it. Go and be enjoying with Jesus Christ. So when somebody dies prematurely, we should be able to stand as people of faith and say, he has gone to rest. And then allow people the time to grieve. But don't come and say, with gratitude to God, we regret. The equation is not balanced. The major premise and the minor premise, they are not saying the same thing. If it is with gratitude, why are you regretting? Why are you sound? Look, listen to me. When God told me this was going to be my wife, later I privately went back to God to say thank you. That if I would have missed it. It's not this thing that you do, Sharon Stone. Your beauty is going. I went back to God to say, when I saw what God gave me, I said, thank you. Listen to me. Your faith is not only good when things are happening. Your faith should be good enough in every situation. Ah, my time is up. In every situation. So I've given you two reasons. Number one, faith in the midst of persecutions. How many of you have been persecuted in recent years? Have you been persecuted this year? No, raise your hand. I want to see. Now, what that means is that your Christian faith is not striking a chord yet in the spirit. I know you didn't hear that one. I said, when your faith is not being persecuted, it's because you've not taken a clear enough posture. I was listening to a brother, and the brother said, can you imagine this girl tried to preach to me? I said, okay, so what's wrong with that? He said, she can't preach to me. He said, she's even a distraction to me. The guy was with a green bottle. You know the wine, the beer for bricklayers? 3-3. The guy, he said, this guy, he said, look at her. Look at her. And then I looked at the lady. I couldn't say anything. I just kept quiet. He said, even the way she's dressing, she's distracting me. I can't focus. I can't even hear what she's saying. If your Christianity has not made you lose something in your office, an opportunity, no, you have not been tested. That means they don't know you're a Christian. Number three, the faith that glorifies God. The faith that advances the cause of God's kingdom. The faith that does what? Advances the cause of God's kingdom. Number four, this one is clear enough. That means that there are certain things you will do in God. It will not be because you are bold. It will not be because you are confident. It will only be because you trust God. When you decide to start giving to orphans or orphanages as a response of, as part of your worship, as part of your, it's not because you have money. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not because you have money. Many of us are praying for money. God is saying, the one in your pocket, give it out. When your faith reaches your pocket, it's faith. Most of us, our faith goes up. Hallelujah. And God said, bring that hand down. Put it inside that pocket. He said, no, the other pocket. Where the money is. Because some of us are crook. You come to church, you arrange your offering here, the one you want to give. And then one day God catch you, you mistakenly put your hand in the other pocket and you gave dollars. To now go and meet in Kem and say, sorry, I just a mistake. Say, we have counted the money. We have taken it to the bank. How come? So quickly. Say, we have taken it to the bank. God will catch all of you. Number four. Faith that relies on God without alternatives. This is the faith that makes God happy. Are you hearing me? Faith that makes God happy. Faith that relies on God without what? Alternatives. Let me give you a good example. God, I will not put my hope in any man. I will not put my hope in any man. I will serve you. I will believe you for this job. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Then you go to your uncle or that's your friend's boyfriend in Chevron. And when you see him, you didn't say, you are my only hope. But there's a way you knelt down and greeted the man. You are telling him, Oga, you are the only hope I have. When I was going to get into, I was changing schools from the north to the south, my secondary school. So, I've been a politician for a few years. So, they told me that in the southwest, they don't take in students government schools for second term. Do you understand me? They don't take students, especially when you're coming from the north. You know, they believe people in the north are not going to school. But that's where me, I'm coming from. So when I got to the Unity School, I won't tell you which one. And they believe that people coming from the north don't have culture. So when I got to the principal's office, I had already gone to Unity Ado, and they told me no chance. You know Unity Ado? Unity Secondary School Ado, if you don't know it, you are not in this country. So they now took me to another Unity in Ondo State. So I said, this disappointment must not happen twice. So when I got there, I just prostrated. Money, I can't also. The man said, young man, stand up. Where are you from? I said, Bauchi State. Wow. And they teach you like this. They say, get up. Mr. Kiemi, this is our new student. Put him in the SS1 science class. Put him in science class. People don't know I did physics. To offend the Wala was too much that I left. I'm not talking about that kind of faith where you scheme. There is schemer. Because there are three levels of schemers. There is schemer, there is schemama, then there is schemama. Those ones are on the highest level. They will scheme you and sell you and collect change. It's not when you go to somebody and you pursue, you are my only hope. Meanwhile, you pray. God is saying, for my faith to be glorified in this job, you are looking for no alternatives. Not by prostrating. How do I generate faith? By receiving the words from his lips. It's not just the words I read, but the words that I hear in my heart. Listen to me. If God has said it, he's capable of doing it. Are you hearing me? There is nothing God has said to you about your life that is difficult for him. And whatever phase you find yourself today, I want you to know that God is able and God is faithful. Rise to your feet. God is able and God is faithful to fulfill every word that he has spoken. But nothing makes God unhappy like when people who come to church cannot even display the basic elements of faith. He doesn't want people whose hearts are hardened. He doesn't want people who are carrying big Bibles, but they are reeking in unbelief. If God says it, he will bring it to pass. I want you to bring your request before the Lord in 1 minute and ask him and confess that thing which you are trusting him for, that is able to bring it to pass in the name of Jesus. I want you to commit your life afresh and consecrate your heart, asking that the Lord will be glorified. We'll be glorified. We'll be glorified.